flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome into our Thursday edition of Sports Talk, January 30th. Still laughed at a week ago. Gotta love New Orleans. We were digging out from 9 inches of snow, and now we've all running our air conditioners today. What a change a week makes. Looking at some of our texts here on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line, one of our texters asking, do you think John Gruden would be a good fit for the Saints head coach? Well, I would think about John Gruden, but the problem is that these too many skeletons I feel in the closet, and the issues with the emails, which caused him to get fired from the Raiders organization, would be too much of a burden for the team to carry, and I just don't know if Ms. Benson and the rest of the Saints organization would want to have that around the team when you have so many other, negative issues with people talking about the salary cap and some of the aging rosters, and just bringing in a guy like John Gruden, who I do think is a good coach, but I just don't think that his past is going to haunt him too much and be too much of a liability.
I just think it's Kellen Moore. I think they're going to try out the young OC like they did with Sean Payton and hope they catch lightning in a bottle twice. But, that's just my opinion. We'll see what happens. We still have a week and a half, basically, until the Super Bowl. And then once that's done, the Saints can fully announce it. But I would be stunned if it's not him. But anyways.
Well, yeah, the way the hiring cycle goes, it's so difficult. Basically, the Saints are in the holding pattern right now because nothing can be officially announced. It might be a wink, wink, nod, nod, handshake with Kellen Moore. But there's absolutely nothing can be announced because that would be in violation from the NFL rules. And we saw something similar happen to the Arizona Cardinals a couple years back, and they ended up losing a couple of draft picks out of that, and we know the Saints don't want to do that at all.
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon ended up being their head coach. He was the DC of the Philadelphia Eagles when they made it to the Super Bowl in Arizona back in 2022.
And then he just stayed there.
Yeah, exactly. So that, and Garofalo kind of made the joke that we saw that happen a couple of years back. We could see it happen again with Kellen Moore, the Philadelphia Eagles, this time offensive coordinator, staying in New Orleans to be the Saints' next head coach. Steve, we also had another text that I'm scratching my head a little bit at. Talking about our Brandon Ingram talk that we had in the Pelicans Power Hour,
yeah,
where we're mentioning that the Pelicans need to move on from BI. He's not going to re-sign here. He's not going to be here long term. You got to get something for him. And it's become kind of a habit with him whenever he gets injured that he takes a lot longer to come back than he should. Just being honest. I mean, we're quite literally almost 2 months away from when he injured himself, when he got injured against the OKC Thunder. He had the left sprain, ankle sprain.
Right.
Not a high ankle sprain, just an ankle sprain. And he's almost been out for 2 months. He's just sitting in street clothes, collecting paychecks. Now, he's going to get moved. And this text said, Brandon Ingram kept this team alive at the beginning of the season. I don't know about that. The Pelicans lost a lot of games with Brandon Ingram. B.I., in the games that he has played this year with the Pelicans, 5-13. Now, some of those games that they have won, games like the matchup against Indiana in early November, games like the matchup against Portland in late October, were games that Zion also played in. B.I. by himself, I would have to do some more number crunching here. Yeah. It's not a very good record when it's just Brandon Ingram playing and not B.I. and Zion. Granted, the Pelicans in general don't have a good record this year, so it's not saying too much, but I don't think that he kept them afloat at the start of the season.
No, we've talked about this a ton. Even before this season, there was the trade rumors swirling around Brandon Ingram. Nothing ended up getting done. There was the talk always of the matchup of Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram aren't just a good pairing on the floor. And it's just with him, the injury issues, it's definitely run its course. I just unfortunately don't think the Pels are going to get much in return.
No.
For the guy who is a talent. Just isn't been available.
Steve, you and I kind of rolled our eyes when we heard Jake talking about, oh, he may feel disrespected by the Pelicans. Like, come on, dude. You're not getting 52 from anywhere. And that's what he was asking for this past offseason.
That's why you stayed. No one was willing to do like a deal with him.
Unreal.
Talking about the Senior Bowl practices, which wrapped up today. They were Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the game going on this weekend. Got a lot of great sound from our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, who is in attendance in Mobile, Alabama. We'll get to his first one, which is with Saints defensive assistant Adam Gristic. Has a lot of great things to say about the team and the head coaching search and all things going on with the black and gold. Here's Jeff with Saints defensive assistant Adam Gristic at the Senior Bowl.
It's a cool experience for assistant coaches to get out here. You know, you're coaching linebackers. How is that? How's that gone for you?
It's an unbelievable experience. You know, just to be able to work with some of these guys. We get firsthand knowledge and information on these guys, so it creates value for me coming back to the organization. And in response to any of the guys that I work with here, you know, they're gonna lean on me and the other assistants here anytime that one of these players is brought up.
Yeah, I mean, normally there's always some of y'all out here. It feels like this year's kind of crazy with Jari and Kevin and even Joel coming back.
That's right.
Is that kind of a unique experience just to have all of y'all?
I mean, it's great to look over in a staff meeting and you got a familiar face and you know, I think the world of all those guys, and I think the organization does too. So, you know, they wouldn't put us out there if they didn't feel good about it. So, you know, it is cool to have all that New Orleans representation out here.
Gotcha. And, you know, just for you personally, is this kind of a weird time in terms of you just don't know what's going to happen?
Yeah, obviously, you know, we're still waiting the answer out there, but you know, it's stuff you can't focus on. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to do my best job here in New Orleans until I don't work here anymore. So I'm gonna do my best, and then whatever opportunity comes, you know, then I'll do my best there. But you can't focus on, there's so many variables, there's so many different pieces that can fall in different places. So you know, I'm just trying to do my thing, and then everything else will handle itself.
Do the coaches kind of stay in touch during this process? Like obviously Hodges out in Cincinnati. Like how does that work?
So Hodges and I are very close. So he's guy I talk with, you know, every day, and everyone kind of just looking out for each other, right? So just kind of just text here and there, just checking in on each other, saying, hey, you got anything working, you know, just kind of looking out for each other. And you know, at the end of the day, we all want to stay in the NFL, right? This is where you want to be in the coaching world. So you know, we'll look out for each other until everyone finds a home, and then you know, and then you kind of build on that relationship as you move forward.
Yeah, speaking of finding a home, obviously DA situation midseason wasn't great,
yeah,
but you know, what do you think is landing spot with the Bears?
I mean, it's awesome. You know, it's I think that they got a lot of excitement over the quarterback over there. There's a lot of excitement about the head coach over there. You know, he knows the new offense coordinator in Declan, you know, being in New Orleans for all those years. So there'll be a lot of familiar faces over there. And you know, it seems like there's a lot of excitement over there in Chicago. So he should be fired up, and the city of Chicago should be fired up about getting, you know, top tier coordinator in this league.
What are your thoughts on the Saints linebacker room right now? It's I know there's a lot of feelings about it with Zach kind of and Caden kind of succeeding elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's weird because you have DeMario still playing at such a high level at his age. It's tough to find space. How do you feel like the development in that room has gone?
Yeah, I mean, you'd love to see success out of those guys leaving there. The whole thing for me was we have a really talented room in New Orleans. So, you know, people were looking at it as a negative that those guys are having success. I looked at it as a positive because it was really, really tough to play in that room right now when you got a perennial All-Pro, top 20 tackler of all time in the NFL, and then you got Pete Warner, who is really, really hard to take off the field because of his knowledge, his execution of the scheme, and his ceiling is extremely high. So it's a really, really good room, and they're also good players behind those guys, so I think it's awesome how those guys are having success, and you do feel a little bit part of it just being with those guys.
Yeah, I think they talked about that with Hodges last year about Caden. It was like, yes, it's a bummer that he got away and he's succeeding elsewhere, but what do you think he developed into the linebacker that he is? I think that says something about what's going on in that room with the guys that are in there.
When it all comes down to what DeMario and Mike Hodges have built in that room. That standard is extremely high in that room, and that was held to by Mike Hodges, and that was held to by DeMario Davis. So when you walk into that room, the standard is extremely high. So it's a credit to those two guys, man. You know, Hodges is on his way to be a coordinator, and DeMario's hopefully on his way to put on a gold jacket one day. So you know, I've been very fortunate to be a part of that room.
Gotcha. And just one more, you know, Riz didn't step into the easy situation week 10.
Yeah.
You know,
it
felt like he took over that room and kind of just kept the ship headed in the right direction. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah.
What was your impression of how Riz handled that whole transition, the final 8 weeks, and what was the buy-in like from the locker room?
I honestly don't think Riz could have done a better job than he did. I really don't see how he could have been better. I thought he poured into the players. I thought he did a great job as a leader, and there's no doubt to me that I think he could do it. You know, I think he could be an NFL head coach. He's proved that to everybody in the building. But yeah, I couldn't speak highly on the way Rizzy handled it. He made it different. He made it feel different for the guys. He created some buy-in, and that's a really hard thing to do in a really hard situation. So, you know, all the credit goes to him.
You heard Jeff there with talking to Saints defensive assistant Adam Gristic. Had a lot of glowing things to say about Darren Rizzy at the end of that. And that's something that I'm a little, not concerned, but wondering what's going to happen with him when the, you know, new coach, is it Kellen Moore? We think it is. But will he pursue a special teams coordinator position somewhere else?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I know that Chicago is apparently interested in him.
I think
in Chicago. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Chicago may be putting together an all-star staff for Ben Johnson. I don't know how much longer Chicago is going to be in the doldrums of the NFC. We'll have to see. But, you know, Denver also, Sean Payton makes a ton of sense.
Right, exactly. The connection there.
Right. But we'll just have to see because, you know, like we said, we think it's going to be Kellen Moore.
Also, congrats to Rizzy, too. It came out today that the NFL will still stick with the current last year's, you know, kickoff rule will be implemented again.
The Rizzy rule.
Yeah, the Rizzy rule. And it seemed to be gotten rave reviews. It was a big success throughout the NFL. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. We'll get back more into our Senior Bowl sound bank after the break. Get into some of the players that Jeff Nowak caught up with right after this here on WWL.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply. Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Senior Bowl practices are a wrap in Mobile, Alabama. Now we're just waiting on the game on Saturday. Some of the top talent in the nation there on display in front of scouts as we gear up for the NFL draft, which will be just around the corner. One of the guys that was made an impression at the Senior Bowl, LSU tight end Mason Taylor. Heard rave reviews about him in the one-on-one drills, especially in the red zone. 6'5", 255 pounders, a son of Pro Bowl Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer Jason Taylor, also the nephew of Zach Taylor, who's also a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll see what lies ahead for Mason. Here's what he had to say after a practice at Senior Bowl.
Last couple days going for you?
Pretty good, yeah. Practice has been good, and again, learning from all these guys and having an opportunity to compete with everyone around the country has been an amazing opportunity.
Yes, you know, I was talking to Angela, the tight ends coach, and she said one of the things she's observed about you over the last couple of days is just you're very even keeled. You never get too high, too low. You know, is that just something that's just you? Like, or is that something you've actually kind of worked on in terms of, you know, okay, big play, bad play, it's always kind of the same reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's just how I was raised, a compliment to my mom and dad. Just being always even through hard times and good times as well, but also seeing guys like teammates like Jaden Daniels being so calm and resilient in moments of pressure really helps me become and see him as a role model and try to put that in my toolbox as well.
How has kind of watching his season been? It seems like yesterday you were catching the 2-point conversion from him against Alabama. Now he's in the NFC Championship. What has that been like watching him?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, like I said, it's not really surprising because I knew he's capable of doing that. And it's awesome to see. And just awesome to see him get paid for his type of play and how successful he's been in Washington is definitely great for him.
Gotcha. And just one more question. You know, when you watch the NFL, when you watch these games on Sundays, you know, is there any tight ends in the league that you look at and you try to model your game after? Anyone you would compare yourself to at this point?
Yeah, I think I really like George Kittle. The way he's a complete tight end, does everything for the offense in the run game, in the pass game. So being a complete tight end and being that answer for every game and is a huge, and the way he has fun with it as well. At the end of the day, it's just a game of football. So, I mean, how he has fun and laughs and enjoys the whole process is definitely something I try to do as well.
That was Mason Taylor for LSU this year. He had 55 catches, 546 yards, 2 touchdowns, and anxious to see where he ends up in the NFL draft. A prospect I know will get a lot of attention from teams in need of that tight end position. And hearing him say, you know, he kind of admires the guy, looks up to the game of George Kittle.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm sure teams would love that too.
I'm like banging the table, and I've been banging the table for so long for the Saints to draft a tight end.
You really have.
Mason Taylor's intriguing, man. And so here's my issue, though. Mike has said that he thinks he's going to go late day one, early day two.
Wow, okay.
If he doesn't get picked in the first round and he gets past, like, the Chiefs, right? Travis Kelce wins his third straight Super Bowl and rides off into the sunset, you know, whatever. He could be an option for Kansas City at the very end of the first round. However, if he doesn't go there and he falls into day two, that's where I think the Saints could be in play for someone like Mason Taylor. Because if you're looking at the tight end position, I've been begging the Saints for a while to finally invest in it.
Yep.
And to invest in a lot of positions, to be fair. But they've kind of ignored the tight end spot, and it's been too long. Now, with Mason Taylor, he's interesting because he's behind the top two guys. This tight end class is really solid. It's not as loaded as it was a couple years ago, but it's got some really strong top-end talent. Mike's top of the board is, I agree with him wholeheartedly about the top four guys. Number one is Tyler Warren. Now, Mike is really, really high on Colson Loveland. Tyler Warren, by the way, the tight end from Penn State. He was the best tight end. He won the Mackey Award this past year. He's a force. Just go watch that guy's tape. He's unbelievable. He can do so many things for you on offense. Whoever picks him up and drafts him in the first round, because he's going to be a first-round pick, is going to improve their offense instantly. Number two is Colson Loveland. And Colson Loveland wasn't on display as much this year because the quarterback play at Michigan was so awful. However, he's still a very strong prospect. He's going to be a first-round pick as well, probably closer to round 20, right? So you're going to have those two first-round picks, a guy named Tyler Warren that's probably going to go top 15. You know, we'll see exactly where he ends up falling. Colson Loveland's also a first-round pick. And then Mason Taylor and Elijah Arroyo from Miami are those next two guys in line. It feels like it's those two and then a little bit of a gap, and then you got Mason Taylor and Elijah Arroyo. Either one of them, on day two, if the Saints are picking and they have them available, I'd be cool. Like, sure. There are other holes that you need to fill in this team, but the Saints desperately need to invest in the tight end position. And Mason Taylor is a really interesting one. Mike's comp for him kind of blew my mind, but the more, you know, I'll look into his tape and everything like that, the more I'll probably see it. Mike sees Sam Laporta in Mason Taylor. And that's why he has him as a late first-round pick.
Wow.
Potentially early second-round pick.
Sold on that, man. I don't know what it is. It seemed in fantasy football, any team I played against, Laporta always killed me because I didn't have him.
And it's interesting because I know that some people aren't as high on Mason Taylor, but I love what he said there when he was talking about his relationship with Jaden Daniels and how Daniels taught him to be calm in those pressure moments. NFL teams are going to love that.
Right.
So Mason Taylor's an interesting one to watch. I'm very interested to see how he does in the pre-draft process. He's already doing very, very well at the Senior Bowl, but later on, like the combine leading up into the draft, and then ultimately where he ends up getting picked. If it's going to be a day one pick or an early day two pick, he's not going to be lasting much longer than the first 40 picks of the draft.
More on the Senior Bowl. Every player there is going to be honoring this week Princeton University star Tiger Besh. He was killed in the Bourbon Street attack back on New Year's Day. All the players are going to be wearing the number 7 sticker on their helmet. That was the Tigers jersey number at Princeton. His younger brother, Jack, is playing in the game and is wearing number 7 for the game on Saturday. He's a former star at LSU and TCU. Jack's projected to be selected a 3rd or 4th round selection in the upcoming draft. He also spoke with the media after practice the other day, and here's what Jack Besh, TCU wide receiver, had to say.
What does this mean, all the outpouring of the stickers and the jersey and everything?
Yeah, it means a lot. It's actually his golden birthday today. His 28th birthday, he was turning 28. So just everything I'm doing out here is just, you know, all for him, all in memory of him. My why is always with my family. But, you know, it's kind of taken up a notch, you know, the passing of my brother. So, you know, like I said, just being persistent, consistent for him, just coming out here, working hard every day. You're not going to win every rep, but, you know, damn well, I'm going to give him my best hand every time. I'm going to make sure to do that, you know, the rest the way on and off the football field, just in memory of my brother, just trying to live his legacy on.
The pride and just the drive to get to the next level, but now knowing that you are playing for him, I mean, just the extra that provides.
Yeah, 100%. It takes you to a place that that you didn't know that you had in you, of like hard work, consistency. You know, Kobe always says you have to work so hard it makes people around you uncomfortable. That they think that you're weird, you work so hard. And I never really understood what he meant by that. Like, what does Kobe mean whenever he says that? Like, I know he works hard, but what does that truly mean? And I feel like these past couple weeks since he's passed, you know, training up at Exos, like, I've been working that hard, and it's been that kind of, so I finally kind of understand what he means by that. And that's something that I'm just keep going to do so I can chase greatness all in the name of my brother.
Yes.
I don't mean to bring up one of the worst moments of your life again, but what was New Year's like for you, finding out that out?
Yeah, hard. Like I said, that was my best friend. He was my other half, so these tattoos are right here, symbolizing that he was my other half of me. You know, this is going to stay clear. Nothing is ever going to be put on this side, but this shows that he's on my heart right here, and he's just the whole left side of me, my other half. So, like I said, it drives me every day. It's definitely super hard to be able to fight through it, but like I said, you grow through adversity if you look at it the right way. the right way and have the right perception of it. And that's what me and my family did. You know, we just decided to not ask why us, but to just embrace it and bring such a bad, tragic event into a bunch of light and bring a lot of people to Jesus Christ. And so it was a good feeling to just be out here, be in front of all the guys, be with all the guys. And, you know, he lived all his dreams almost. The one he had on the top of his bucket list was to see me make it to the NFL. So that drives me every day.
One football question. Louisiana guy, Lafayette guy, you were LSU through and through. How hard was it for you to leave LSU, but obviously it turned out to be the right choice?
Yeah, so my first goal was to play football at LSU. My second goal was to take care of my family and make it to the NFL. And I knew that in order to make that happen, that I was going to have to make a change, even though I knew it was going to be hard. I just trusted in God, trusted that he had a plan, because he always does. And everything ended up working out. And whenever I wake up, I thank God every morning that he gave me the opportunity. He gave me a TCU to be able to shine.
One more question here. I think your family has some history with the Saints, and obviously the lineage through LSU. All 32 teams will be a dream when you get drafted. What would it mean if you could stay in Louisiana and wear the black and gold?
Yeah, you know, I think it would go for any team. And I wake up every day, people ask me, oh, do you have a favorite team, a least favorite team, yada, yada. I just say, I mean, the percent that I get to be able to just have this conversation and make it to this level is very small. So I just thank God that I'm just in this position to be able to thrive and to be able to play the sport I love for the people I love.
That was former LSU Tiger and current TCU wide receiver Jack Besh there. Really rooting for the young man. Obviously a tough situation that he went through. And that's we were talking about it kind of when the interview we were listening there, Charlie. It's hard to even think about continuing on when you lose someone like that in your family.
It's unfathomable. Like, this is Jack Besh and the comments that he was making about, you know, getting to this point and kind of honoring his brother by, you know, making it to the NFL. You can't help but root for this kid. Local product, by the way. He went to STM from Lafayette, so St. Thomas More. Yes, Jack Besh. I love that question at the end, by the way, where they're asking him, like, you know, if you get drafted by the Saints, because he's going to be in that range, you know, kind of borderline top 100 pick, like late day two, early day three. I don't know. I like Jack Besh a lot, by the way. He catches everything. Everything that touches his hands, it's like he's got glue on his gloves. So
you can use that guy.
No, he's an intriguing prospect for sure. And he had a breakout this past year with TCU, going over 1,000 yards. He's apparently been killing it at the Senior Bowl. You know, the situation from New Year's is tragic, what happened to his brother. But as far as, you know, rooting for a kid, like, that's your number one guy. I hope he succeeds. I hope he gets drafted. And I hope he has a very long NFL career.
Very cool stuff. Everybody wearing the number on their helmets for the game. And obviously, Jack Besh will be sporting that jersey number, honoring his brother. We saw Senior Bowl week. You know, it's a progression at practices for a lot of players. I think especially the quarterbacks getting used to, you know, a bunch of new players is difficult. Jalen Milroe, Alabama's QB, seemed like a perfect example of that. He seemed to be swimming during most of the first and second days of practice, according to reports. The footwork, the snap exchange from center. However, today's session was a lot different. He seemed to have a comfort level that materialized. And after those previously poor outings, they didn't bleed into the final day of padded practice. Our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, caught up with Milroe, and here's what he had to say after today's Senior Bowl session.
Jalen, you and Jack Besh kind of build a connection there? It seemed like you hit on him.
100%. You know, number one is relationship, getting to know him. That was the most important thing, getting to know him, being around him for the short period of time. But, you know, chemistry is important when you have receiver-to-quarterback relationship, and that's something that's built, you know, with this small time we had together. And so the best thing we had the last 2 days, you know, reflecting on that, getting on the same page, because timing is everything when it comes to quarterback to receiver. So I was able to do that, you know, with the week we had.
When you have a receiver that's that physical, and you know you can just throw it up, he's going to go win. How nice is that?
Oh, 100%. He the truth. I got to give it to him. That man's a dog. He can play every position. You know, we had him an inside receiver. We had him at outside. You know, he's able to move around, and he's definitely a threat for defenses.
Gotcha. You know, Jalen, what are some of the things you want to show people? What do you want people to be saying about you when you walk out of here at the end of this week?
Just everything, you know, that's poured into the game. You know, the opportunity that I have to play, I'm going to take advantage of it. You know, I'm going to pour everything I can to be the best version of myself and never get complacent, you know, and I learned so much from my losses, you know, more than my wins. And so my loss is when I'm my best. And so that's when I just try to improve, try to grind and compete and refine. That's a part of my plan, part of the process.
Jalen Milroe, Alabama QB there at the Senior Bowl. a prospect I think that is expected to go day two of the NFL draft in the second round. I guess you could do some things at the combine that may push him into the first round conversation, because we know that that QB talk or the stock usually ends up taking a dramatic rise, you know, as you get closer to the draft. It'd be interesting to see if somebody maybe takes a flyer on him late in the first round, because you get that extra fifth year on the QB option.
So when we were interviewing with Jeff in the 5 o'clock hour, Mike called him the quote unquote ultimate enigma. He has no idea what to think. Well, Mike knows what to think about him. He sees, you know, the plays that he can make with the deep ball, but then he kind of struggles with kind of the shorter intermediate passes, and it's just kind of a strange prospect. As far as this year's draft class goes, Steve,
yeah,
where you have, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward that are bona fide first round picks in this class, it's, and I mean, they're okay talents. They'd probably be like QB 7 and 8 in last year's draft class, which kind of tells you how good this QB class is. But if you're looking at Jalen Milroe or maybe Jackson Dart, who we'll hear from in just a second,
right?
Those are probably the guys that could be in contention to be the third quarterback off the board. But as Mike had mentioned earlier, the way that the NFL views Milroe, it's a spectrum. It's like the cone of uncertainty, where some teams will have him, yeah, we would take him in the first round. Other teams would have him, we wouldn't touch him with a pick in the first three rounds. So it's going to be, one team is going to fall in love with him and take him. And Mike made a great point earlier on the show. Tommy Rees is the new offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. He was promoted recently. He was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach of Alabama in 2023. There's an interesting little connection there. So watch out for the Cleveland Browns if they decide that they want Jalen Milroe as their QB of the future. Whoever takes him, Steve, if we're being honest with ourselves, he's going to have to sit a year. He's not ready. You can't throw him out there and be day one starter like JD Daniels, right, or Caleb Williams or some of these other guys from this year's draft class. You can't just throw him out there and have him be, okay, go win some against NFL defenses, because he's going to fail. But if you draft him with a plan to sit him and let him learn and develop, then you may have something. But he also has to go to the right system for his talents and skill sets. So whatever team takes him, that's all I would have to say. Have a plan for Jalen Milroe, because if you don't, you're doing the kid a disservice.
The wonderful media, the social media, saw a few Saints fans at least clamoring to maybe select Jalen Milroe. I don't know if he would be a good fit for Kellen Moore's system if he ends up becoming the head coach here. Would he be interested in taking a guy like Milroe to groom as the next black and gold QB?
Sure. I mean, if Kellen loves Jalen Milroe in the pre-draft process,
roll with it.
Yeah, for sure. However, I don't know if I would want to take him at pick 9, though, Steve. That's kind of
no.
My
that's definitely
back.
Way early. I'm saying, yeah, maybe with their second round.
Second
selection.
Round pick, sure, yeah, absolutely. If they think that if Kellen Moore sees, you know, Jalen Hurts and Jalen Milroe, Jalen Hurts is also a second round pick, by the way.
Right.
Go get him in the second round. Why not?
We're going to break down more of our Senior Bowl sound bank when we get back after the break. Like Charlie mentioned, up next, Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart. Hear what he has to say after the break right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Me and Charlie Long been talking Senior Bowl. We wrapped up practices for the week. The game will be played on Saturday in Mobile, Alabama. We always hear the draft begins at the Senior Bowl. And you have a ton of prospects to look at as we gear up for the big night. Couple months away still, not too far along though, but looking at some of the talent there, we heard from a quarterback in Jalen Milroe, now Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart. We saw him really have a good season for the Rebels this year. Ended up passing for 4,279 yards, had 29 touchdowns and just 6 interceptions. Curious to see what the, you know, teams think of him draft-wise, where he ends up going. Probably another day 2 selection, I would think. I don't know if he gets up into the first round ranks. It's
always
so tough with QBs.
It really is, because it's not a good QB class, but there's always, it always feels like there's one guy that shoots up draft boards and ends up being higher selected than maybe some expected. Jackson Dart's a weird one, Steve, and we'll hear from him just in a second here. Some people have him as high as QB3.
Wow.
Right? Others, yeah, will have him at like QB5 or something like that, where he's a bona fide day 2 pick. But if he's behind, you know, Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward,
right,
and then he's your third guy, if 3 quarterbacks go in the first round, Jackson Dart could be a first round pick. Not saying he's going to be, because it's more likely that he is a day two pick, just like Milroe. But we'll see. I mean, sometimes it happens where a team will fall in love with the prospect.
Exactly right.
And think that this is our quarterback of the future. You know, we'll draft him, have him maybe sit for a year and kind of let him learn the offense, let him learn the playbook, kind of learn and adjust to the NFL life, and then throw him out there the next year.
Having that fifth-year option, too, for the, you know, the rookie as a quarterback is big, too.
The way that I've heard this quarterback class described, and I agree with it a lot, it's a developmental class. It's a lot of guys that you don't want to throw out there instantly, like the Bo Nix and, you know, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams that I was talking about when we were mentioning Jalen Milroe. You don't want to have to throw Milroe out there instantly. I don't think you want to have to throw Jackson Dart out there instantly either.
Speaking of Dart, here's what he had to say after today's Senior Bowl practice.
When's the last time you got a snap under center?
I mean, in our last game. So I would say like my second to last play of college football.
So is that something that you feel comfortable doing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, some of the centers here have never played center before, so just getting work with them. And then also, you know, it's just time, you know, building that chemistry. So we'll be good at it.
How difficult is it trying to acclimate to new receivers as you're trying to learn the new language of the scheme that you're utilizing this week?
Yeah, I mean, there's always an adjustment period anytime you get into a new system and learn new things with new guys. So, you know, it's just going to clean its way out the rest of this week, and really excited to get to work. And these guys out here are awesome, so it's a lot of fun playing with them.
What about even your steps, like giving the running back, right, under center, doing some zone steps, some stretch stuff? How was that, trying to communicate that? Because a lot of those backs, they've been taking their stuff from gun. They hadn't had any under center runs in a while.
Yeah, I think we did a really good job today of walking through a lot of these plays before and just walking through the footwork of everything and the landmarks. These backs are super talented, so it's a lot of fun to watch them run, and they do a lot of explosive things.
Why was it so important for you to be here this week?
I mean, obviously, just be around, you know, great talent, have great exposure. It was a no-brainer for me, so I was just really looking forward to it. It's a great environment, and I'm really excited to just continue to learn.
Jackson, what are you trying to showcase about your game this week?
I mean, I feel like everything that I need to show is on tape, so it's more just like getting acclimated to the NFL systems, being around the NFL coaches, and just learning and, you know, finding my way of being uncomfortable and performing at the same time. So just really looking forward to the opportunity.
Being an Ole Miss guy, what's your connection and your relationship with Eli? Do you have any kind of, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My relationship started with them when I first got there. You know, they were one of the first families to reach out to me, and it's been special how our bond and connection's been able to grow throughout my time there, and obviously just doing different events with them, and then at the same time, them coming to games, shooting good luck texts, and then going to the Manning camp was also an amazing experience. So they've been a huge asset for me, and I look forward to continuing to build a relationship with them.
That was Jackson Dart, Ole Miss QB, as he prepares to play in the game Saturday at the Senior Bowl. Interested to see more of him in action. Like Charlie was just saying, it's like you never know. Could be a team gets enamored with him and all of a sudden, boom, ends up a first-round pick. But I think it's more likely probably a day-two selection.
I agree. I think he's going to be a day-two pick. However, like I said earlier, Steve, you know, maybe he's going to be one of those guys because every year there's one quarterback that seems to fly up draft boards late.
Yeah.
And we'll see if it's him. Because it's the QB3 is still kind of up for debate right now.
I saw one mock draft at least speculating he could be of interest for like a Seattle Seahawks team with an aging Geno Smith over there.
That makes sense to me. Does Clint Kubiak like him?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Because Mike McDonald's the defensive coach, obviously. So Kubiak's him to run the offense. If Kubiak really likes Jackson Dart, that could be a great fit in Seattle.
Talking about the offensive side of the ball still, we're going to stick with that. Our Saints sideline reporter caught up, Jeff Nowak caught up with Oregon offensive tackle Josh Connerly, 6'4", 315 pounds, out of Oregon, a two-year starter there. Here's what he had to say with Jeff Nowak at the Senior Bowl.
What is it that you're hoping to show folks out here?
Oh, I'm the best tackle in the draft.
Yeah? Do you believe that?
I do.
Now, obviously, Oregon, you guys switched from Pac-12 to the Big Ten. Just tell me about that transition. What was that like moving from West Coast to Central and, like, different competition, et cetera?
Definitely a lot more traveling. I feel like the competition wasn't any better or worse. I mean, I feel like some of the guys in the Big Ten were a lot bigger, but I don't necessarily think that they were that it was better competition.
Who was the toughest guy that you went against in your entire college career?
Brandon Trice.
Now, you played against Caleb Williams. Obviously, you weren't on the field at the same time. But in those matchups against Caleb Williams, what did you notice about him? What did you recognize about his game?
Really elusive. He's going to make plays. and, you know, just does what he does.
There's a lot of talk that the Bears could be looking for an offensive lineman looking in the trenches. What would it mean to join the Bears and maybe protect Caleb Williams?
Hey, I mean, any opportunity is great for me. Blocking for Caleb would probably be a great thing. I mean, somebody I knew through recruiting, and he's a good friend of mine, and, you know, I feel like it'd be a great opportunity.
You knew him through recruiting? Like, what was that relationship like?
A little bit. He, like, came to, like, my recruiting dinners and stuff, and when I was hosted by SC, he's somebody that was kind of there through that time, so.
All right. Thanks so much, Josh. Cool. Appreciate you.
Josh, one more question. You know, what are some of the things we're trying to work on this week? You're trying to show coaches that you're establishing.
I'm the best tackle in the draft.
I mean, anything technical and perspective of
really just getting to my spot, throwing my hands consistently, having good hand placement, running off the ball, and showing people that I can physically dominate people.
Gotcha. You know, these one-on-one drills, you don't get a lot of those at the other combine events or the other off-season events. How important is it to kind of display that I am kind of that physical, that aggressive person?
I mean, just go out there and just going as hard as I can with every opportunity I get.
Josh Connerly, offensive tackle out of Oregon, and you heard him there saying, I'm the best tackle in the draft. And I guess you got to have that swag
few
about
words,
you.
But shout out to Josh Connerly. No, I mean, listen, we'll see where he ends up going. I think he's a first-round pick just based off the potential alone. He's got great feet, by the way, just the way he moves.
Sweet feet.
Mike is a huge fan of that with big men in the trenches. Like, how well do you move? Like, how well can you get to your spot? But, I mean, and to be fair, I kind of criticized him a little bit yesterday because I saw the rep and I just kept watching it over and over. Mike Green from Marshall just puts him on his butt.
I did
butt.
See that.
He just bulldozed him. But Jim Nagy had a good point. He was playing right tackle on that rep. Josh Connerly's a traditional left tackle.
Right.
So, you know, fair is fair. I apologize, Josh Connerly. You were on the other side of the line when you got bulldozed by Mike Green. But I think he is a very intriguing prospect to watch. You know, the Bears were mentioned there as well at 10. He could go at that high. It just kind of depends on what other teams think of, you know, the top offensive linemen in the draft, like Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks.
Yeah.
Josh Connerly's right up in that number.
Here on Sports Talk, we're wrapping up our Senior Bowl Soundbank coverage. Going to take a break. Be back with more as we wrap up this hour right after this here on WWL. Cannot wait, folks. Live from Radio Row in the heart of New Orleans, it'll be WWL. We'll bring you the exclusive access to the biggest sports event of the year. Join our team from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day next week. You'll hear the biggest name in sports, entertainment, and music, plus insider insights and unforgettable moments. We're your front row seat to the thrills and excitement of the big game. Keep it locked on your home of the NFL and the spirit of New Orleans, powered by Lambert, Zini, Smith and Soso, WWL, and the free Odyssey app. As we push out of here, the LSU women's basketball team putting it to Oklahoma. It was a close game. Now the Tigers leading 85-72. 9 minutes left in that matchup. We'll be keeping tabs on that for sure. Hopefully the Lady Tigers close out a victory and improve to 7-1 in conference play. For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Be talking to you tomorrow, folks, with more sports talk right here on WWL. Have a great night.